We're still in our freedom series, number four today. Are you guys feeling more freedom? Are you experiencing freedom? Are you applying any of the Word of God to your life that we've been talking about? So it's one thing to know the Word. It's a whole other thing to apply the Word and receive the fruit or benefit of the promises of God in your life. It's pretty easy to read it, know it, and talk about it, but to understand and begin to experience it is next level, and that's where we begin to find those freedoms that Jesus paid for when he went to the cross. And he came that we might have liberty this side of heaven. We know after this earth, if we make it to heaven, we have life everlasting. That is no more sorrow, no more pain, no more tears, and it's amazing and wonderful beyond what we can think or imagine. I mean, that sounds like a pretty wonderful place. But we don't have to wait to get there to begin experiencing what God has in store for us. We can experience that here on this earth as well. I had a tough time deciding what to call today's message. So I've been bouncing between walking through pain and the gift of processed pain. So I think the gift of process pain is what I ended up calling it. If you look for it online, that's what you'll find. So as we get into the message, pain is real. Anybody ever experienced pain? Anybody smack their knee on a rock at the river this week? Oh, there's one hand. Okay, there's two hands. But pain is all around us. Anybody get stung by a bee this week? Wow, that's way too many. They're kind of getting nasty out there. But those are little, small, inconvenient pains that heal rather quickly compared to some of the traumatic, emotional, mental, spiritual, physical pains or abuses that we experience in our lives. And if we don't process through them, we drag them with us for decades or years of our lives. And they continually show up in the way we perceive people or relationships. They continually show up in the way we look at how God loves us or we love God, and they skew or slant our perception of how we view life and conversation and interactions and relationship. And the text we just got from our friend that we know we can't read motives or intent or feelings, but because of our past experience and the pain we're still carrying with us, oh, she gave me a thumbs up. She's mad at me. Oh, he gave me a frowny face. He doesn't like me anymore. And maybe he hit the wrong emoji. I always get a little like disgruntled like when I look at our feed afterwards and there's angry faces on there. I'm like, I hope it was an accident. Those of you viewing online, no angry faces, please. If you put it there, you have to sign your name to it. We need to talk. Don't you wish life was that simple? But we need to get in relationship with one another. We need to process through our pain together. We can walk with one another in that. That's called compassion, going with in suffering or in pain. Right? We're going to learn a little bit about compassion. But there are six steps we're going to look at today in processing through our pain, just to give you an actual step-by-step process of how we do that. Not the only process, but it is a process. Before we get there, we're going to jump into Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse 5, it does start out, therefore, so we'll get to the verse prior to that in just a moment. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That is a power-packed passage, full of goodness. I like all of it but the suffering part. But suffering in us produces something. Suffering isn't always a negative. Pain isn't always a negative. Pain tells me don't pet bees. Right? Like you might get away with it once or twice. When I was young, I don't know, 4 or 5, maybe even 3, I was little, I was trying to pet a bumblebee. As my mom was delivering Avon to one of her customers, this was over in Fenn Field. And I remember petting this bumblebee and he stung me under the thumbnail and his whole stinger and venom sac broke off. And it was stuck under my thumbnail, and it was pulsing and throbbing, and I remember, ah! Of course, I tried to grab it and pull it, as any young kid would do. And when I did, I squeezed the venom sac and just pressed more venom into my thumb. It was awful and horrible. I went screaming, running into the house, and my mom got it out. It really did not feel good. That's one of my earliest childhood memories. Don't pet bees! Pain tells me don't pet bees. We can learn and grow from our pain, and we should hopefully not repeat the process or carry it into the generations beyond us. What caused the pain? Is it avoidable? And did we grow through it? Because we can grow through our suffering. We can grow through our pain. God wants to use our pain to produce within us perseverance, character, and hope. We don't have to stay in our pain. Oftentimes we do. And we keep recycling the pain, the pain, the pain, the pain. But we're supposed to work through and process through our pain to get back to hope. There is hope. Quit petting bees. Get back to life as normal. Quit banging your knee against rocks. Get back to life as normal. What are some of the pains you've experienced? I'm going to talk about one of my early childhood emotional pains as we go through the message today, as we process through. But now we have to get back to therefore. We jump back a verse into chapter 4 of Romans. We're just going to read verse 25. But the whole passage of chapter 4 is talking about being justified by faith. And it gets to the end of the passage. Verse 25 in chapter 4, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Jesus Christ is who it's talking about in this moment. Our faith in him, he was delivered over unto death for the payment of our sins, but raised back to life for our justification through him, that you and I could be made in right standing with God of all creation. Thank you, Jesus. And that's why we roll into the peace and hope of chapter 5. Verse 1, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, they're worth dying for. I'm going to stand in the gap for them so they can have peace with my Father. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 2, we gained access by faith into grace. By our faith in Jesus Christ and who he is, we gain access into his grace. Verse 3. There is glory in our suffering. It produces perseverance. It produces good character. It produces hope. The Lord doesn't say, serve me and you won't suffer. But he does give us a roadmap of how we walk through suffering well, to bring him glory and honor through it, that we may get back to the point of our hope being restored. Verse 4 is that hope, talking about that hope in Jesus that we have. It doesn't put us to shame, but it gives us access because God loves us so much. Verse 5, God loves us His love is poured into us through the Holy Spirit. I don't have to operate on the amount of love the Arby can give, because God's love can be poured into me and through me by the Holy Spirit. I have access to His love tank, which when I access His love tank, then I can move into compassion for those who are enemies of mine. That's God's love. God's love for us, when we were still sinners or enemies of the kingdom of heaven, He still loved us. And we move from our love to His love, it's a game changer. Then we get to experience the agape love of our Heavenly Father as we show it to those around us. Pain has a voice. Pain will speak. How does pain speak in your life? Sometimes it sounds like addiction. Sometimes it sounds like isolation. Sometimes it sounds like fits of rage. Sometimes it sounds like fear and doubt. Sometimes it sounds like, put your word in there. What does pain sound like in your life? Sometimes pain paralyzes us, makes us immobile. Do you know what the devil's job is on earth? It's to steal, kill, and destroy. When our pain immobilizes us, he has stopped your journey, or he has stolen your journey or purpose and plan that God has intended for your life. He kills your hopes and dreams. We've got to work through the pain. It's a painful process with a hopeful outcome. The process is not fun always, but the outcome is amazing. First step in walking through our pain, we have to acknowledge the pain. We have to acknowledge that it exists. Sometimes we get hurt or in pain. I was at the beach a while back with this guy. Pretty sure he has some Irish or Welsh background. Super white when he got to the beach. Ultra red when he left. Didn't use sunscreen. After several hours, I'm like, man, that's gotta hurt. No, I'm fine. It doesn't hurt. I'm like, you can lie to you, but you're not lying to me. I've been sunburned. I'm pretty sure the temperature went up in town when he got back to it. He was beet red. But sometimes we have pain and we try to tough it out. Nope, it didn't hurt. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but your words will never hurt me. What a lie. What a lie. We used to say that as kids. I don't know if y'all did, but man, your words hurt me way worse than sticks and stones. Your words pierce to my core. A stick and a stone, it's going to heal in a bit. But man, some of those words that have been sent my way, I carried for decades. Deep core wounds. And we're going to get to five core wounds here in a bit. Acknowledge your pain. Yes, that hurt. Yes, I should go home and put some aloe on this sunburn so it doesn't hurt so bad tomorrow. There's a way to walk through or process through that pain that can make it less intense. But you first have to acknowledge the pain. As we acknowledge our pain, sometimes we have so much pain, we have so much trauma in our lives, and it's from every direction and avenue, and it's all coming to us at once, and it's like, ah! When you acknowledge your pain, pick one piece of your pain. What is one point of pain that we're going to deal with right now? And as you process through, process that one piece of pain at a time. Because otherwise, it can be so overwhelming and so intoxicating that you just get lost in thought and you get lost in pain. And you're like, I'm done, I'm out, which is usually what we do. Anybody else? Sometimes I look at my list of to-dos today and it's overwhelming. Because there's like 107 hours of to-dos to do today. and I plan on sleeping 6 or 8 of my 24. So that leaves me about 16 or 18 hours to do 107 hours of work. And it's overwhelming. And if I don't just, okay, I'm going to pick one item and tackle it first. If I look at the whole list, it's like, I'm never going to get done. I give up. I'm just going to sleep today. We'll try again tomorrow. Nope, there's still only so many hours in that day too. So when you're processing your pain, don't tackle the whole snowball. Pick a snowflake. One item at a time. Follow the one thought or moment and stay with it. What was the moment that brought that pain, or what was that pain? Pick one at a time and follow it through the process. Step number two is process it. Step number two, what is around this pain? How does it make me feel? What's going on inside of me when this pain occurs? This part of the process can be very awkward and challenging, but stay with it and remember that pain is part of the healing process. Pain is part of your healing process. You will feel the pain as you get well. Get to the meat of what's going on. This is a good part as you're processing to journal or write it out. Be authentic and real. Let it out. Feel every part. Don't hold back. And this can look like when I walk into a room, I feel suffocated. I feel like my lungs are collapsing. I feel like I can't breathe. And then my mind goes crazy and I can't think. I can't concentrate. And this is part of processing. How does that make you feel? I was in this meeting one day and I had this weird reaction. There was people in the room and one of the people in the room said, "Hey, we're leaving," like moving far away. And I had this immediate reaction. My chest got tight. I was overwhelmed with emotion. My heart was broken. And I physically had to grab the seat of my chair to keep from running out of the room. And I was like, whoa, what just happened? That was a weird reaction for what just took place. That was an overreaction for what just took place. Because I had some foreknowledge that this might be happening. So as I begin to process this, I'm like, okay, this is a big pain point, and it didn't come from that room. It came from somewhere before. So I begin to process, how did I feel in this moment? And these are all like my, I was going crazy on the inside. And when you have an overreaction, you need to sit with it and say, what's going on? What is this pain point? What is it from originally? And we'll pick that back up in a moment as I process through, as I backtrack that to where it came from. So number two is process it. This can look like abstract art. It can be all over the place. Not make sense. But then step number three is find the theme. How do we find the theme in all of our processing of what's going on, what's causing us to react or do certain things a certain way? And as I begin to backtrack, okay, I had that reaction there and I had it a couple times before, not as drastic, when people were leaving my life that I thought were going to be in my life for a long time. And I started tracking it down and it eventually got back to, I'm 2 or 3 years old, I'm not very big, standing on the couch, I could barely see over the back of it. But my parents were going to a revival service one evening and dropped me off at a babysitter. And apparently I didn't want to be there. Because I remember it back to that moment of standing on that couch, leaning over the back, watching their taillights go down the driveway. And all of that went back to that. And in that moment, I felt abandoned. So ever since then, whenever I would feel abandonment, it was like poking the bear because I had never processed that pain. And it was not that anything bad happened to me. It was not that anything wrong happened. It was just that I felt abandoned in that moment. It wasn't even a serious event in life. But as I processed with the Lord, he took me back to that moment. So this is where the spirit of abandonment came in. And then we'll get to the next part where we sit with Jesus in our pain. It doesn't have to be a huge trauma. But what I was realizing is that my reactions were not common for what was going on in my current life. So where did this start? If you notice yourself responding weird to situations, it might have nothing to do with that situation in your current life. It might have everything to do with something previously in your life. That's why it's important to process our pain. This was a deep pain inside of me in the real moment. And as I went back, I probably wanted to be with my parents. It's probably because I wanted to go with them and I wasn't able to. It was as simple as that. So as you find the theme, this is the point where we identify for what was really going on in Arby. I felt abandoned, which is one of the five core wounds that we can have. Be specific. Be as specific as you can as you begin to find the theme. This is the who, the what, the why, the where, the when, the how. Find these things. What emotion am I feeling in this moment? Is it anger? Is it fear? Is it sadness? Is it joyful? What emotion is attached in that moment? I felt sad. Be as specific as you can. And don't stop there. We get to step number 4. Please don't stop there. Step number 4. Before we get there, I skip my Bible verse. Shoot. More pain. I messed up. As we acknowledge our pain, Psalms chapter 56, verse 8. Just wanted to bring this out because Jesus cares about our pain. Our Heavenly Father cares deeply about our pain. Psalms chapter 56, verse 8. Record my misery. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Your misery, your pain, God keeps record of. He thinks of us. I like also how it says it in the Message. Psalms 56, verse 8. You've kept track of my every toss and turn. Through the sleepless nights, each tear entered your ledger. Each ache written in your book. Man, how God loves us. God cares so much about you and I. He sees and thinks about every tear. He sees and thinks about every heartache. He sees and thinks about your sleepless, restless nights. He says, oh, I wish that you would process through your pain and return to my hope and my son, Jesus. Because he took that pain and he nailed it to the cross. We have to give it over to him. And that brings us to step 4. Take it to God. Don't get hung up at the feeling. Okay, I felt my pain. I know what feeling it was. It was ugly and I've had enough. Please don't stop there. Please don't stop there. Now that we've learned and understood that and we've identified and we've been specific of when the encounter happened, take it and sit before God with it. Say, God, what do you have to say about this? God, what do you want me to do about this? God, where were you at in that moment of my pain? When I asked God that, he showed me this vision of me standing on the back of that couch and him sitting in the corner of the couch with his hands folded in his lap, just hanging out. What he showed me in that moment was I was believing a lie that I was abandoned. What he showed me in that moment was I was right there with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Because the enemy is always trying to get us to take the bait and believe the lie. Even as small children, isn't he awful? But he looks ahead and says, God has plans for these people. I want to cut them off. I want to kill, steal, and destroy their future, their ministry, their purpose, God's plans for them, and he will do it any way he can. He wants to keep us in our pain, in our suffering. He doesn't want us to get to perseverance. He doesn't want us to get to good character. He doesn't want us to get back to hope. So he will do what he can to keep us beat down. God, what would you want us to do in this situation? God, what do you want to do about this situation? If you stop at the feelings and don't move on, it will be like a reoccurring onion peel. Have you ever relived the reoccurring onion peel in your life? I've done it. Different situations. Try the same process, repeat. Try the same process, repeat. But you have to complete the process so you don't have to repeat the process. Take it to God. Ask God all the questions. Have your needs met from him. Have the weight lifted as only he can do. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Whew. How much does God love us? He invites us to bring our pain, our suffering, and sit with him. Bring it to him and lay it on him and walk away unhindered, unburdened. That's what he invites us to. Arby, this isn't yours to carry. Give it to me. I've paid for it. Give it to me. How dare I steal from God what he's paid for? How dare I rob God or Jesus of what he's already paid for and take it to be my own? Now, I prefer the miraculous side of this where Jesus just comes in and says, Arby, be blessed and be pain-free. But more often, he allows us to work through it so we can gain perseverance and good character and hope. So he can grow and develop us into the men and women that he wants us to be. To talk of his goodness, to talk of his mercy, so we can speak into the lives of those around us. Say, yeah, there's some pain and suffering, but there's hope. There's hope. If we'll process through well, there is hope. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's carrying all that pain of the world, all that guilt, all that shame, all that sin, as he goes from there to the cross. He's walking with it all. He has to process through it. He has to start taking it to God, saying, hey, he even says, hey, if it can pass, let it pass. But not my will, but yours be done. In Luke chapter 22 and 23, you can read about of his accusers. He moves into compassion of the guards. He even heals the one man's ear, the servant of the priest. He heals his ear like it was cut off and he puts it back on. The people that are arresting him falsely, under false pretenses, false accusations. The fifth step is we move in compassion. The fifth step of processing your pain after you've sat with the Lord, talk to him about it. What do we do with it? Where do we go from here? The fifth step, we move in compassion. Meaning to go with in pain. Sometimes you have to learn to have compassion for yourself. I need to have compassion for myself sometimes. For other people, it's pretty easy for me. Sometimes I'm harshest with this guy, and it's hard to have compassion for me because I know what a screw-up I am. I know what a failure I am. I know all my faults. I know all my flaws, and I'm not worthy of it, but you guys are. And I have to remember that I, too, am a child of God, created in his image and likeness, and he loves me as much as he loves you, and I am worthy of his compassion. I am worthy of my compassion. And I can go with myself into my suffering and pain and walk through it, knowing that my God is on my side. Forgiveness can happen, but forgiveness without compassion is fruitless. Forgiveness can happen, but without compassion, it's fruitless. We have to make a conscious choice to forgive. Forgiveness doesn't say it didn't matter, it didn't hurt, I'm okay. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is, you've offended me or brought an offense against me. It hurt and it was painful. And you owe me a debt, but I release you of that debt. And then compassion moves in when Jesus is hanging on the cross. After he's been whipped and beaten and nailed, he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. As he's literally dying on the cross for their eternal salvation. And when we, as Christ's followers, begin to move in compassion, when we get to the fullness of life that Christ has intended for us, then we too can be in that same place of being whipped and beaten and ridiculed, maybe not physically, but it could be verbally, emotionally, spiritually. And we too, in that place, being falsely accused, can say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And we can look at them with the eyes of Jesus saying, there is hope available to them as well. Christ loved them as much as he loved me. He died for them as much as he loved me. And when we get to that point, we no longer have bias. We no longer have prejudice. We no longer have opinions about what you're wearing or not wearing, or who you associate with or who you don't associate with, or where you show up or where you don't show up. But we begin looking with the eyes of Jesus as humanity. There's one race, the human race, and Jesus Christ died for them all. And we begin showing the love and kindness and compassion that has been showed to us. But if we stay in our pain's going to have a voice. And generally, it's not pleasing or honoring to God. Generally, our pain comes out and looks like Arby had a bad day. Generally, our pain comes out and it hurts those around us. But if we process through our pain and get to this place of compassion, which is what Jesus paid for, so we could have that life living abundantly, get to the place where we can have compassion for our offenders, our abusers. That's Christ's plan for our lives, not just pastors, not just prophets, but the body of Christ as a whole. So move to compassion. Process your pain before you move to compassion. If you just jump to forgiveness and compassion, you still have this compartmentalized pain that eventually somewhere is going to pop up. And I shared that story of my pain coming from that place of being a child because literally it seems pretty silly. Like there was no abuse that took place in that moment. There was no, my parents didn't say, we don't love you. We're never seeing you again. They were like, they're probably like, we'll see you in a couple of hours. I don't remember that side of the conversation. The only thing I remember is looking out that window and watching the taillights go down the driveway. And it's kind of silly. But if we don't take it seriously, the devil will use that to keep us stuck in our pain. And it can be that silly. But it's real. That's where we get honest and real with it. Say, hey, maybe that wouldn't affect any of you. It affected me. And it's not silly, it's real. So don't deny your pain. Process through it. Move to compassion. God, how do you see, if it's an offense that's happened, how do you see my offender? That's moving in compassion. God, how do you see my offender, my abuser? How do you see them? Give me your eyes for them. Give me your compassion, Lord, for those around me. Feel the pain fully and find forgiveness. Then begin to move in compassion. One caution is when you're processing through your pain, do it when you're doing well in life. Do it when everything seems okay. Don't do it when you're in the depths of despair and beat down and all these pains are coming upon you. But do it when you're well rested. Do it when you're not hangry. Do it when you're well fed. Because it will take some emotional energy. It will take. And it's a process. And in between processing, you should recharge. Reconnect with God outside of processing your pain. Go do something fun. Don't overload on processing. Pace yourself. Don't do it when you're worn out. What's the last thing on your 107 things to do this week? And when you process one thing, go do something you enjoy as far as recreate or recreate who God created you to be. For me, it's really hard to be bummed out about life when I'm walking through the woods chasing ginormous whitetails or bull elk or bears or lions or wolves. Oh my. But what is your release to where you're just purely enjoying life and nothing can be bad under the sun? Maybe it's sitting on a beach in your beach chair with your feet in the water reading a book. Maybe it's crocheting indoors with the air conditioner blowing on you or the wood stove, the warmth in the winter. But once you've processed through a pain point, go and recreate or recreate in you who God created you to be. Reconnect with the Father and say, okay, maybe next week we'll tackle another one. Because Jesus paid for you and I to be whole. And sometimes that looks like walking through a process to get there. As God creates in us from our suffering, perseverance, good character, back to hope. Sometimes we've got to walk with the Lord in that moment. So step number 6 is repeat. Step number 6 is repeat. Don't drum up old wounds. Take your time and do one at a time. Don't go back and like, oh, I've got to have pain in me. Let's go like dig this out. Like wait for it to show up in your life. Just like me when I was in that meeting and that was like, what is going on? Like I didn't have to go drum it up. It's going to show up because pain has a voice and it might not speak every day, but it will speak at some point. And when it does, then begin the process. But don't go drum this up like, oh, I'm broken and I got to go fix stuff and I got to work through all this stuff. And Pastor Arby said, no, that's not what I'm saying. But when it does arise, go sit with it and process through it. Eventually take it to God. What do you want to do about this, Lord? For me, God wanted to restore in me, take out the lie that the devil had put, that I was not worthy, that I was not acceptable, that I was not good enough. So I was abandoned, the lie of the enemy, and wanted to restore. I love you, and I was with you in that moment. Your parents love you. They came back and got you. But replace the lie with the truth is what God wants to do through this process and get you back to hope instead of just suffering. Because if we don't walk through it, we will stay in our suffering. And those around us will endure our suffering. But God wants us to walk in hope. He wants us to walk in freedom. And that's what Jesus Christ came and paid for. So five core wounds. You can write these down if you're a note taker. Most all of our wounds and pain come back to these five, or this category of five core wounds that we have. The first one is abandonment. How do we counteract abandonment? Jesus Christ says in his word, I will never leave you or forsake you. We're not abandoned. The second one is betrayal. How do we counteract betrayal? Jesus says he is faithful, he is trustworthy. We can trust in him. It says, put your trust in God, not in man. So if we put our trust in the right spot, we can counteract betrayal. The third one is abuse. Abuse can be sexual, physical, mental, verbal, spiritual, many different kinds of abuse. How do we counteract that? Well, God is a good, good father. He gives good gifts to his children. God is love. God is full of compassion. God is full of blessing. The fourth core wound is rejection. I don't see that Jesus rejected us. How do we combat it? Jesus loved me so much that he gave his life for me. I am not rejected. I am accepted. And the fifth one is brokenness, or I am broken. I must be fixed. I must change myself. This will fall into guilt, shame. I'm not good enough. But who does God say I am? His word says that even from the foundations of the earth, he knew us. Even before we were in our mother's womb, he knew us. In the beginning, God created them male and female in his image and likeness. That's who God says I am. Anything short of that is a lie of the enemy. It's okay to know core wounds, but better is to know the truth that counteracts the core wound. Because God came to bring us hope, to bring us peace, to bring us joy, to bring us love. And that's the freedom that we are supposed to walk in as we journey along in life. Amen. Hopefully that was helpful. Hopefully it will be helpful. If you want notes on that, ask Pastor Dan. I threw him under the bus because he's not here today. You can really ask me. There is so much freedom and so much hope in Christ Jesus. And there's a world out there that needs to hear it, needs to know it. As we process through our pain and we get healthy and whole, we're a much better reflection of who Jesus Christ is to the world around us. Then we have outbursts and effects of pain coming through our lens of life, through our words of life. Get healthy, get whole. Jesus paid for it all. Sometimes we just need to give it back to him. Say, I'm sorry you paid for this. This is actually yours. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that you loved us so much. Father, we thank you, God, that you are a good, good father. God, we thank you for the truth and direction of your word. God, that we can apply it to our lives. God, that we can see its effects take place in our lives as we apply it. God, that we can see the truth and the promises of your word active and alive among us, God. And we just thank you that you are still on the throne. God, that you are still Lord over all. And Father, we thank you for the gift of eternal salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that you would use us, God, as we get whole, as we get healthy. God, use us to bring you glory and honor. Use us to take your gospel of peace to the world around us. God, that they too may experience the freedom that you have for them. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.